Guys, win. Hey, my name is Hern Chung, and like what Joel just said, you know, I run the youth ministry at TMC, Trinity Methodist Church, and our youth ministry is called Fearless, and I'm super pumped to be here with you guys, especially with my good friends Joel and James the Machine Gun. Come on, James. I once heard that James preached, right? James made fun of me just now. He said I was fat and everything. Oh, not cool, man. He said I was so big as I walked in that he could see me from distance. But James, yeah, I once heard that James preached, right? And then when he gave the altar call, I don't know if you guys have to tell me if it's true. Like, animals started lining up in pairs, waiting to be saved. Is that true? Yes? No? Yeah? Who says yes? Come on. Edge. Jonathan, one guy. Hey, this morning I was talking to Esther at a youth pastor's lunch, and she was saying that you guys at Rubicon are the quieter bunch. Is that true? No. All right, hey, if you guys today like what you hear, if you guys hear something and you agree with it, I want to encourage you to respond. The better you respond, the better I preach, all right? Yes? Hey, so this morning, let's take out our Bibles and let's open our Bibles to Matthew 14, verse 22. So come on, take out your Bibles. Matthew 14, verse 22. And it's a verse that I think is familiar to us, but I think God's got a message for us in there this afternoon. If you're there, say, I'm there. There's only a few of you, come on. All you guys who are using your Samsungs and Nokia, that's what happens, guys. Come on, you gotta use Apple. Apple takes you guys there straight away. Yes. Oh, Apple lovers, come on. But of course, if you have your physical Bible, that's better. Hey, Matthew 14, verse 22, I'm going to read it for us. I'm reading for New Living Translation. It says this: immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray, and night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble. Everyone say trouble. They were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen and they were fighting heavy waves. At about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were terrified in their fear. Everyone say fear. They cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus spoke to them at once and he says, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Just an aside note, have you ever wondered how Jesus sounds like, right? I always thought that he sounds like Mufasa from Lion King or something like that. You know, like, don't be afraid, take courage, I am here. Or like Darth Vader or something like that, I don't know. But anyway, Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, then tell me to come to you, walking on water." And Jesus says, "Come." "All right, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water to Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. And he cried out, "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him and said, "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshipped him, saying, "You really are the Son of God." Hey, if you're taking notes this afternoon, I want to title today's message, Fearless Faith. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, hey, it's time to be fearless. Turn to your second favorite neighbor this afternoon and tell him, get ready. Come on, would you join me? We're going to pray. Father, we just thank you for this day you've given us. God, we thank you for your love. God, even as we hear your word today, will we not just hear information, but God, would you give us revelation that would lead to transformation in their lives. So God, teach us today to be fearless. Teach us today to have faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, how many of you guys have ever found yourself in a life-threatening situation before? Put your hands up. In a life-threatening situation before. Maybe for some of you guys, it's you were walking along the road and you were texting that boy or that girl and a car almost hits you. Or maybe it's a time for you, some of you, where you sat in a friend's car who just got his license, and he's driving you home, and his driving almost kills you. Or maybe for some of you, you guys got your grades back, and you know that your mom was going to kill you because of your grades. How many? Come on, we've all been there before, right? I remember the one time that I got into a situation where I found myself really fearing for my life. You know, a few years ago in 2008, I was studying in Australia, right, doing my university and everything there, and I was flying back and forth. And in 2008, I was flying back to Australia to finish my studies, and I was on this flight back there. And I remember sitting in my seat very clearly watching Batman Begins on the TV in front of me, when all of a sudden, you know, I began to feel this feeling in my stomach. You know that feeling when you take like roller coaster and it's like going over the top of the roller coaster? And just as it turns up and you're going downwards, you have this feeling in your stomach where your food begins to come up, yes? No? None of you have taken a roller coaster before? Come on, tomorrow you guys need to go to USS or something, you know? You know, it was this feeling where I just felt everything being pulled up and getting out of my stomach. And I felt this gravitational pull slowly pulling me out of my seat. And it was pulling my head back. And the funniest thing is when my head became pulled back, I saw the strangest sight in front of me. And it was the sight of people being stuck on the roof. Yes, you guys heard that right. It was people being stuck on the roof. And I'm telling you the truth, there was this air stewardess in front of me who had just literally moments ago served me a drink, and she was there stuck like Spider-Man. You're like, you know Spider-Man, the roof, he's like that. And the air stewardess was there, stuck on the roof, and it was pretty crazy. In my brain, I was sitting there, I was thinking, what in the world is happening? Like, dude, is she Spider-Man or is she some superhero or something? But it wasn't just all around the place. There were just random people being stuck on the roof. And what had happened? What happened was that after 10 seconds, what felt like eternity, but after 10 seconds, suddenly you felt gravity, the weight of gravity on you, and suddenly everyone just boom, 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 fell around you. And there was this lady, I was sitting in my seat with my seatbelt, and the next thing I knew, I looked up, and this lady lying stretched out across my tray tables, right? And I was just like, where she was not there when, like, 2 seconds ago. And I was sitting there, I was like wondering, what in the world, where did she come from? Apparently, she flew back from 4 seats in front. She was not wearing a seatbelt, and she flew back, and she landed right smack along our tray tables on our food, right? To make matters worse, she landed on our food, and she was like dirty and everything. And, you know, it's what happened, there was food all over the roof, there was blood on the cabin doors, the luggage was falling off. And, you know, people were screaming, they were crying out and everything. And what had happened, you know, I found out what happened because Air Crash Investigation, this Discovery Channel show called Air Crash Investigation, actually made a documentary of our flight. And what had happened from this thing is the plane's autopilot had a malfunction in it. So the plane's autopilot told our plane that it had to climb because it was too low. And the plane climbed to a point of, I don't know what you guys, science guys, stratosphere or something, or atmosphere, I don't know. It climbed all the way up. And then when it was too high to the point of no return, the autopilot says to the plane, you're too high, you need to take a nosedive. And so our plane, like true story, I'm not lying to you, you can go YouTube it and Google it, it was QF-72. Our plane took a nosedive. And that's when when a plane takes a nosedive, all of us began to have like zero gravity, like flying. So that's the only time, like, you know, all 100 kilos of me was like zero, you know. True story, right? And this happened a couple of times because the pilot couldn't figure out. So we went down, and then suddenly he put it was okay, and then it went down again. And it came to a point, right, that the plane was so badly damaged and that people in it were so badly injured that the plane had to make an emergency landing in a desert in Australia. And so, you know, it made an emergency landing in the desert of Australia. And when I stepped out, I promise you, I stepped out of the aircraft, I knelt down and I kissed the ground. You know, I was just like, oh, thank you, God. You know, I've never been so terrified or fearful for my life. And today, in today's passage, we read the same thing that's happening to the disciples. They were going through a similar situation, but instead of being in a plane, they were in a boat. They were in a boat that was a wooden boat, an open-top boat. It was a boat that fishermen used to go into the sea for a couple of hours, but it's not meant to withstand a storm. So the disciples found themselves in the middle of a storm, and the Bible says that they were being beaten and battered by the waves. And to make it worse, the Bible says it's 4 a.m. in the morning. When it's 4 a.m. in the morning, there's no light. And so these guys were riding blind. They were being thrown around blind and not knowing when the next wave that came could possibly capsize them and kill them. And so I would think that these disciples were pretty terrified. They were pretty scared. They were fearing for their lives. But to make matters worse, the Bible then says that as they were sitting in a boat and trying to stay afloat and hang on to the boat, they saw this figure walking towards them. They saw this figure walking towards them. Now, that doesn't sound so scary, right? I mean, we have that person there walking there. It doesn't sound so scary. But let me get this straight. They were on a boat in the middle of a sea, and there's this person walking on water, H2O, to them. Have any of you ever walked on water before? Yes, no. No, right? Because it's impossible. It's impossible to walk on water. And so when they saw this figure walking to them on water, the Bible says they began to freak out. They began to scream like James Gunn at a Taylor Swift concert. You know, ah, it's a ghost, right? And they began to scream. And the next thing you hear is Jesus then says, hey, take courage. I am here. Don't be afraid. And the next part is my favorite part here. Why? Because out of the 12 disciples in the boat, we don't know what the 11 other disciples responded. We don't know how these guys responded. But we read that there was one disciple, and his name was Peter, who responded, who became the other main character of the story along with Jesus. And I believe that Peter, this afternoon, he teaches us something about fearless faith. He teaches something to us about what God is calling us to, that he is calling you and I to fearless faith, to courage this afternoon. And I want to give us three things about fearless faith that all of us can learn from this story here. So nudge your neighbor and say, hey, get ready, man. Nudge your other neighbor and say, are you ready for this? Three things this afternoon about fearless faith. Number one, fearless faith recognizes the voice of Jesus. But more importantly, fearless faith recognizes the authority that comes with it. Fearless faith recognizes the voice of Jesus, but more importantly, fearless faith recognizes the authority that comes with it. There around him, his friends, Peter's friends were screaming for their lives. They were trying to hang on for their life. And Peter's, you know, the funny thing of Peter has this brainwave. He sits there and everyone's screaming, and Peter has this brainwave and he hears Jesus' voice. I'm trying to think like Peter, right? And Peter must be sitting in the boat and he's like, this is fully sick. You know, check it out. That looks and sounds like Jesus. Maybe I should ask him if I can join him in the water. What in the world was Peter thinking? What in the world went through Peter's mind? Like, seriously, is there something wrong with Peter? You know, I sat there and so Peter then calls out to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, over there, Jesus, if it's you, then command me to come to you. Take a second and ask yourself, what was Peter doing? What was he thinking? Is there something wrong with him? If I were him, you know, if I was a disciple and I was him and I saw Jesus, I'll be, hey, Jesus, save us, right? That would be my natural response. But Peter says, hey, Jesus, tell me to walk on water with you. Every other disciple were doing their best to try to stay in the boat. But Peter here was actually asking if he can come out of the boat. What is it that made Peter think differently? What is it that made Peter suddenly muster up the courage to think differently from the other disciples? I think the defining moment was when Peter recognized the voice of Jesus. But more importantly, when Peter recognized the authority that came with the voice of Jesus. As Peter stood there and he hears the voice of Jesus, I believe Peter had a revelation. Peter had a revelation and recognized the authority and the power of Jesus. Because when he heard the voice of Jesus, it was the same voice who hours earlier had taken 5 loaves and 2 fishes and multiplied these 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people. It was the same voice who just days and weeks earlier had been with them in the middle of a boat in the stormy seas, and he said 3 words, peace, be still, and he calmed the wind and the waves. And it was the same voice who with Peter as he went out and they saw a paralyzed and blind guy, it was the same voice that prayed for these paralyzed and blind guys and made them walk and made them see. This afternoon, I want to tell you, young people, if you are going to do anything of eternal value with your lives, this afternoon, you must learn to recognize the voice of Jesus. That you and I must learn to recognize the voice of Jesus, but more importantly, you and I must learn to recognize the authority and power of Jesus and what he can do in your life. We must learn to recognize that Jesus has the power to save us and the power to take care of us through the storms of life. This afternoon, your revelation and not your situation will determine your reaction. Your revelation and not your situation will determine your reaction when the storms of life hit. You and I this afternoon, we need to get a revelation of Jesus. You and I, we need to get a revelation of who Jesus is, but what he can do in your life. So that the next time a storm can hit, you can go, hey, it's all right. He's here with me. Number two, fearless faith. Fearless faith steps out of your comfort and convenience and into your calling. Fearless faith steps out of your comfort and convenience into your calling. The Bible says, after Peter says, Jesus, call me to come out to you, the Bible says this, Jesus says, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. The second thing that fearless faith must do is to step out of the boat, to step out of the comfort and convenience of the boat and into the calling of Jesus in your life. You see, the boat for Peter and the disciples was a place of comfort and security. It was a place that was safe. It was sound. But it was also a place of convenience. It was a place where at least they knew they had something to keep them afloat. But for many of us, the boat in this story, for many of us here, represents the comfort and the convenience in our life. It represents, it could be that group of friends that you always hang out with. It could be that image that you're trying to hide behind, that reputation that you're trying to hide behind. It could be even be the very seat that you're sitting in this afternoon, because it's become comfortable and convenient for you. But this afternoon, to step out of the boat for many of us means that we have got to get uncomfortable. And that for many of us, it means that we have to face our fears. Maybe for some of us, it could mean having to speak to a friend about Jesus. Maybe for some of us, it could mean having to get out of your seat and serve in some other way and getting uncomfortable. For some of us, it could mean, and this is going to be sensitive, this is touchy, it could mean getting out of that relationship with that guy or the girl and getting back into a right relationship with Jesus. What is the comfort zone? What is a boat that you have to get out of this afternoon? What is a boat that you need to step out of this afternoon? The sea may look like a place of uncertainty, insecurity. The sea may be a place where it looks daunting and scary and fearful and just overwhelming. But hey, can I tell you that fear is keeping you from taking that step of faith? And here's the thing, the water in the sea may look scary, but that's where Jesus is. And that's where he's calling you to step out into this afternoon. Jesus is calling you into greater courage. He's calling you into fearless faith. And he's calling you into an adventure with him. But here's the thing. You will never experience the excitement of walking on water if you don't get out of the boat. You will never experience the destiny that God has in store for you if you don't get out of your comfort zones. You will never experience the adventure that God wants to do through your life if you're just remaining in your seats every single Saturday. What is the boat that you have to get out of this afternoon? What is the boat, the comfort and the convenience that you have to step out of this afternoon? God's power within you is only potential until you convert it into strength by faith and by action. And for many of you, that power is still potential in you. Don't get me wrong, it's in you, but it remains as potential until you learn to step out and convert it into strength by your faith and by your action. Listen, you can't fulfill your calling in the comfort zone. You can't fulfill your calling in your life in the comfort zone. And many of you, the pathway to greatness and the pathway to your calling always travels through your fears. It always travels through your fears because faith will take you to your destiny and your calling, but fear will keep you from it. Faith will empower you, but fear is going to paralyze and cripple you. This afternoon, I want to ask you, what if faith, but not fear, was your response to the storms, the wind and the waves in your life? What if the next time you see a storm coming, and instead of worrying what your friends may think of you, you start believing for your friends to be saved? What if this afternoon, instead of running away from your problems, you start facing up to your problems? Because you're saying, hey, Jesus already says, my Bible already says I'm more than a conqueror. My Bible already says I'm victorious, that I can overcome. What if this afternoon, you stand up to your problems in the storms of life and say, hey, I'm going to overcome. I'm going to walk on it. these wind and the waves in my life because Jesus calls me to courage. You see, young people, being fearless doesn't mean that we don't have any fear at all. But being fearless means that we refuse to be overcome by it. Being fearless, fearless faith steps out of your comfort and your convenience and into your calling. And number three, the last one is this. Fearless faith is found not in the absence of a storm, but in the presence of a Savior. Fearless faith is not found in the absence of a storm, but the presence of a Savior. The Bible says this, but when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified. And he began to sink. And Peter cried out, "Save me, Lord." You see, what fear often does, it creates a spiritual amnesia. You begin to forget who God is. When fear comes in, it's like a sickness. You forget who God is and what his track record is. And in this story, when Peter sees the wind and the waves, he begins to forget who Jesus is. He begins to forget this same Jesus is the one who did everything, who has the power and the authority. And so when he saw the wind and the waves, faith begins to exit his body and fear begins to enter his body. And he began to sing. Let me get this straight with you guys. Nothing has changed. The storm was still there. The wind and the waves were still there. Jesus was still standing in front of him. But you know what changed? It was Peter's perspective that changed. Peter shifted his perspective from faith to fear. Peter shifted his perspective from the Savior to the storm. How many of you guys here have been in the army before? Like, who's in the army? Yes? Army? Who is currently in the army? You guys have to do this thing in the army called the standard obstacle course, right? It is like the worst thing ever in life, right? Like, look at a person my size. How do I climb over a wall? Like, it's just not possible. I run through the walls, man. No, but seriously, right, they got this thing called a pyramid. I don't know what they call it. It's a pyramid thing. You guys know what I'm talking about? It's a pyramid. Sorry? Jacob's ladder? Apex ladder. So the apex ladder is this thing where it's like a pyramid and it steps, right? And it steps and it's like, I don't know who designed it, but that guy is evil, right? And so one of the things in the stand-ups course is you got to run. And you gotta run to this thing, and you gotta run up this apex ladder without, like, with your rifle, and you can't touch the ground. You come up, run up this climbing, which is like at least 10 stories tall. No, I'm just kidding. It's about what, I don't know, like 5 meters in the air. And then you gotta run down as well without holding anything. So there's a trend that happens in army. Because, you know, when I was in army, you can see every single person. They would run, and these young soldiers would come, and there would be courage in their eyes, bravery in their eyes, fearlessness in their eyes, and they'd be like, rah! And then they'd run a bit, right? And then they begin to run the first few steps, and it's totally okay. But then there's a trend that when most of these soldiers hit the middle or close to the top, you begin to see something. And what that something you begin to see is fear come into your eyes. You begin to see them, and they're like, and you know what happens? I think that because at that point of time, they have to look down. That's when they got to start looking at the steps and saying, okay, I'm about to cross over. And I think at that point of time, fear begins to enter their body because fear begins to question it. They begin to ask the what ifs. What if I fall down? Or worse even, guys who know what I'm talking about here. What if I take a misstep and one leg goes on one side and the other side? If you guys know what I mean, I don't want to go into it, but you guys know what I mean. What if that happens? Every single guy is like, and then you begin to crouch down and hold a thing. In the same way, when I did this thing, I was like, oh my gosh, how do I do it? And my sergeant came up to me and says, Hunshung, recruit, let me tell you, the secret is this, is to keep your eyes fixed on the front. The secret is to keep your eyes fixed in the front and just keep taking steps. Don't stop. In the same way, for all of us here, it's hard to get where God wants you to be if your eyes are on the waves. It's hard to get where God wants you to be if your eyes are fixed on the storm. In the same way, when you face a storm in your life, keep your eyes fixed front. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and just keep walking. Just keep walking. The secret to fearless faith is keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. The secret to fearless faith is keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Being fearless doesn't mean that you don't have any fears. Being fearless means that when the trouble begins to come and the fear begins to knock on your door, you know where to look. And that you're looking at Jesus and you're realizing, hey, he is more than enough. He is greater. Ultimately, the faith to step out is worthless without the faithfulness to see it through. And the key is to keep eyes fixed on the Savior. It's not the absence of a storm that will set us apart as Christians, but it's who we find in the storm, and that's Jesus. The Bible then says this. I want to close this time now. But the Bible then says, Jesus immediately, everyone say immediately. Immediately, he immediately reached out and grabbed him, and he says, you have so little faith. Why did you doubt me? I love this. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. This whole story, actually, let me just say to you, isn't just about walking on water. But this story is actually the gospel in a picture. It's actually what Christ has done for us in a picture. That when you are in your weakest moment, when you find yourself empty of power, when you find yourself in a situation that's beyond your control, when you find yourself getting out of, when you find yourself in a storm and having trouble getting out of it, when you find yourself in a tight situation where the wind and the waves look like it's going to overcome you, Jesus sees you from a distance. And he doesn't just see you, he walks to you. He walks to you. And he calls you and he's saying, come, step out. Come, step out. He invites you into an adventure. But do you know what's more important? He doesn't just ask you and say, hey, watch me walk over your problems. But Jesus says, hey, walk with me over your problems. Walk with me over your wind and your waves. In the same way, how you choose to live your life this afternoon is the biggest decision that you ever make. You can choose to be powerful or powerless. You can choose to be fearful or faith-filled. And this afternoon, some of you guys have come, you're searching for answers. Some of you guys have come and you're searching for that solution in life. I love what James just now said. Jesus, lift his name higher. Fix your eyes on him. Jesus. Maybe some of you guys this afternoon come with issues, an addiction, maybe a problem. Maybe it's a relationship problem that you have. Maybe it's a family problem that you have. Some of you guys this afternoon, maybe you're caught in the middle of a storm and you can't see the end of a storm. You can't see when it's going to end. I want to echo the same words that Jesus says, come, step out. He's calling you into courage. He's calling you to step out and say, hey, come and walk with me above the wind and the waves of your life. It doesn't matter what your past is, whether you have your life in order. It doesn't matter what you've done, what your background is. The invitation for everyone is still the same. Come, come, step out, step out. And this afternoon, I want to give the same invitation. I want to give two invitations this afternoon. The first one is this. If you've never come out and you've never accepted the invitation of Christ in your life before, if you know that Christ is calling you, and if you've never walked and said, I want to follow you, Jesus, I want to invite you this afternoon to really put your hands up when I count to three. All right? That's the first group I want to pray for this afternoon, and I want to invite you as well. So with all eyes bowed and eyes closed and all heads bowed, this afternoon, if that's you, if you've never heard, if you've never responded to the call of Christ, the invitation of Jesus in your life, I want to tell you that he's saying, come, come. Regardless of who you are, come. Regardless of what background you come from, come. Regardless of what you've done, come. Regardless if you have your life in order, come. So on the count of three, if that's you, I want to invite you to raise your hands. Put your hand up, stick your hand up. And say, oh, Jesus, I want to come to you. One, two, three. Come on, stick your hand up, stick your hand up. If that's you, the invitation goes out to you to come, to respond to God's invitation in your life. We're just going to take a few moments. If that's you, and you feel there's a tugging in your heart, if you feel that something in your heart is calling you out and saying, "That's he's talking about me," I want to invite you to raise your hand and stick your hand up and say, that's me. Just stick your hand up and put your hands down. Yes, we see you over there. The next thing I want to do is for everyone to stand up this afternoon. Just stand to your feet. And before I make the second call this afternoon to a second group of people, I want to ask you that you did stick your hand out. I want to invite you to come to the front, because the leaders of the Edge have something for you, and they want to pray with you and to really walk with you through it. So if that's you, just come to the front, and they're going to walk you out with it as well.